Hebrews chapter 11. If you were to go through the Bible, read through the Bible, you could summarize the Bible pretty much around the lives of probably a dozen or so people. Now, we normally don't think about it that way, but really, over and over, you'll see where God takes a man and He uses him for a period of time, and then God will take another man and use him for a period of time, and another man. But it's a very small number of people that all of history revolves around, as is given to us in the Bible. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we have this great chapter on faith. It begins by giving us a definition of faith. I'm not preaching on faith this morning, but then after giving us a little bit of an understanding of what faith is, then we get down and starts talking about those who did great things by faith. And I want us to pick up, or not read all of them, but pick up at verse 7, and we'll just skip the little chorus this morning, Amanda. I know that you're waiting there for that, but I don't think it would be appropriate for us this morning. Thank you so much. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, I'm going to pick up there. The Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Now notice what these did, is they undertook some things by faith, and in many cases they did not live to see those things come to fruition, but they believed that they would. For the sake of time, skip down to verse 17. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, then Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, here's what I want you to think about in this passage. Here is a list of heroes. Some of them are not even known by name. But there's a list of heroes here. And what I'm going to preach on this morning is this. You may find it a little bit odd, but it is our need of wholesome heroes. Not just of heroes. Everybody has heroes. But we need wholesome heroes. And here is a list of what I will call wholesome heroes. Not perfect people, but they were wholesome heroes. Not people that were to be worshipped as gods, but people that were to be honored and revered as heroes. And that's what our nation needs. Every people needs that. Every nation needs that. Everybody needs that. And I want you to take that little thought, and we're gonna preach on that a little bit this morning. Now, Father, I pray this morning as we observe this Memorial Day weekend, thinking about tomorrow, the day that we've set aside to honor our heroes, many that are named, but many more that are unnamed. But we've set aside this time to honor them, and that's a good thing to do. You do that in the Bible. You give us a list of heroes. Here's one of those list of heroes. Because you realize that we as people of faith, we need heroes to encourage and challenge us and motivate and stir our faith. And I pray that we will learn something about heroes this morning, our need of them, the right kind of heroes, and what we should make of them. There's a lot that I could say. But I want our hearts to be stirred and challenged and informed about this matter of heroes. And may we realize, Lord, that there's one who is more than a hero, and that's our Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we never put a hero on the level of Christ. May we realize that it is Christ that enables our heroes to become the heroes they become. And may we always be grateful to you for the nation that you've given us, and the men, the women, the people over throughout our history that you've given us to sacrifice their lives to give us what we're enjoying here today. To give me the privilege and the joy of standing without fear and preaching the Word of God. May we leave here with a greater appreciation of those you've given to us. And everybody say with the pastor, amen. Throughout our nation, we have built halls and walls and walks of fame for just about everything. According to my very brief research, which really consisted of nothing more than a Google search that directed me first of all to Wikipedia, the majority of our halls and walls and walks of fame, in our nation at least, are dedicated to sports and arts, which I believe is a very sad commentary on the priorities of our nation. It has not always been that way. And I think that is a very sad commentary upon the state of our nation and the priorities of our nation. Thankfully, we do have some that are dedicated to what I consider the more important and beneficial accomplishments of our citizens. The existence of these halls and these walls and these walks of fame verify two things. Now, you think about it, they're everywhere. Everywhere for just about everything. But the fact that they exist, they verify two things. First of all, they verify the human need of heroes. We need heroes to inspire us. We need heroes to motivate us. We need heroes to challenge us. Who has not been stirred by the story of someone else's success or someone else's exploits in this life? The man that has never been stirred by the successes and the exploits of others is a man that is to be pitied. He either does not read or just does not care about things. If he has never allowed himself to be challenged by the successes and the exploits of other people. So the need of heroes, it reveals to us the human need that we have for heroes. All of us need heroes. Every nation needs heroes. Every group of people needs heroes. The fact that there's halls and walls and walks of fame also verifies the important role that heroes play in our nation. A nation's whose nation's heroes tend to map and steer the direction of its people, especially the direction of its youth. By the time we get up my age, we've already pretty well settled into what we think should have the priority, who should be honored and who should not be honored. But a nation's heroes will map and steer the direction of that nation, especially the direction that its youth leads the nation in. If a nation's heroes are sports figures, then the nation will become enamored with sports, and the youth will dream of being some kind of sports hero. Sad to say, that seems to be the heroes of most of our young people today, or a lot of them, a large segment of our society. They do not dream of being firemen, policemen, and soldiers, but they dream of being able to dunk a basketball or run a touchdown and have people cheer them on. That is because their heroes are sports figures. If a nation's heroes are rock musicians or other type of carnal musicians, the nation will become enamored with music. And at the end, we have a lot of young people, they dream of being some kind of rock star, some kind of rap singer, somebody that can live that lifestyle and have people applauding them, some kind of country singer and so forth there. I think that, again, that's a sad commentary on our nation. But but if that is who your heroes are, then that is the direction that the youth are going to tend to want to lead the nation in. If a nation's heroes are actors such as Hollywood stars, movie stars, and so forth, the nation will become enamored with Hollywood, and they'll want to get involved in the matter of acting and becoming famous and being on the big screen and things of that nature there. And again, we have a lot of our young people that's who they are enamored with, some movie star there, and that's their dream of being famous appearing in some big movie. If a nation's heroes are protesters, the nation will become enamored with protesting. And boy, do we see that sweeping across our nation. Somebody protests, they get a little bit of attention, and all of a sudden everybody wants to protest. They want to have walkouts in the school and so forth like that there. But they become enamored with that, and so our nation is caught up in protesting and so many times burning buildings and trying to destroy the liberties that our forefathers have fought and died to give us. If a nation's heroes are policemen, the nation will become enamored with law enforcement instead of enamored with breaking the law. Whenever I was coming up, I suppose probably half of the young people, if not more, when you ask them when they wanted to be when they grow up, they'd say, I want to be a policeman. That was just considered to be an honorable thing. But that is not the case anymore. And if a nation's heroes are warriors, then the nation will become enamored with a form of patriotism, a militarism, a desire to defend their country and protect their country and their homeland and their families. Now, I think you get the point. Our heroes map and steer the direction of our society. They're important. We need them, but they are very important. Therefore, it is vital that we promote the right kind of heroes in our society. That's why I said I'm preaching this morning on our need of wholesome heroes. We have a lot of unwholesome heroes out there. We need wholesome heroes, and it is vital that we promote the right kind of heroes in our society. Now, Hebrews 11 is probably the greatest chapter in all of the Bible on faith. But I often refer to Hebrews chapter 11 as faith's hall of fame. We could say heroes of faith. For as you read through it, you'll find that it consists mostly of brief descriptions of what men and women of old accomplished by faith. You read about Noah, you read about Abraham, you read about Sarah, you read about Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and numerous others there. And then it talks about a whole list of people that did great things. They were worthy to be revered as heroes, but they weren't even remembered. Their names aren't even remembered. Now, God gave us this verbal faith hall of fame to inspire us as believers, as people of faith. God gave us this verbal hall of fame to motivate us as people of faith. God gave us this verbal hall of fame to challenge us as people of faith to live by faith. These are wholesome heroes that God has put before us. Now, from God's selection of those that He chose, not that I chose, not that the penman of Hebrews chose, but that these are a selection of people that God chose to honor by including them in this faith hall of fame, we discover some things about heroes, and I think it's important that you get the things I'm getting ready to say. Number one thing we learn is this. Heroes exist in all generations and come from all walks of life. Now you read through this list of heroes. Good to God that we had time to just go through and talk about every one of them in depth. We don't have time. But just let me summarize some things. Think about Noah. He lived before the flood when the world was much different than it is today. But he was a hero, or should have been a hero of that day. God puts him here as a hero of that time. You think about Abraham. Abraham was a wealthy man and the first of the Hebrew people. He was the founding father, we could say, of the Jewish people there. But he was a very wealthy man. He was a hero of the faith. Sarah, of course, was a woman, not a man. But God put her here in this faith hall of fame. She was a hero of the faith. Jacob was a mama's boy. Yeah. Esau, his brother, was he was a man, the outdoor guy. Jacob would be one of the last people in the world that I would consider becoming a hero of the faith. But he became a hero of the faith. Joseph was an outcast in his own family. His brothers hated him so much that they sold him into slavery and deceived their father into thinking that he had been slaughtered by a wild beast. But he, though hated by his brothers, he became a hero of the faith. The Bible mentions Gideon here as one of those heroes. When we're introduced with Gideon, he's hiding, threshing grain because he's fearful. And so he was not by nature a bold man. By nature, he was a rather fearful type of man. But God took that man and made him into a hero of faith. David was a shepherd and a musician, a man that his own father did not think would be somebody that would be considered by God to become the next king. You know the story how that when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons, he brought all of his sons before Samuel twice. And finally Samuel said, there's got to be another one. He says, God's told me it's one of your sons. And they said, well, I've got this little boy out here taking care of my sheep. You know, he likes to play the harp and stuff like that. And brings him forward. God said, that's the one that I'm going to make a hero out of. So what I'm trying to get you to see is this. Heroes exist in all generations, and they come from all different walks of life. They don't necessarily come from the most masculine, not necessarily from the wealthiest. They come in all different shapes and sizes and forms. But another thing I want you to see about heroes is this, and this is so important that we get this in our day. Heroes are far from perfect people. They are human beings. They are not perfect people. We look at this list of heroes here, and of many of them we see the imperfections if we know our Bibles. Why, here's Noah. Yes, he was a hero, was he not? But you know what? The Bible tells us Noah ended up getting drunk after the flood. And we read about Abraham, this great man that went out by faith into a land that he didn't know where God was going to lead him to. He just followed God. But if you read the story of Abraham, you'll find this, that Abraham was slow to obey God. It took him a little while to really go all out for the Lord. He had a little bit of weakness there. And we read about Sarah, this woman that gave birth to a child miraculously in her old age. But when Sarah first heard the news that she was to give birth to a child, the Bible says that she laughed in unbelief. And she was rebuked by the Lord for her unbelief. We read about Jacob in this faith hall of fame, why he deceived his father into thinking that he was his brother, so that his father would give him his brother's blessing. We read about Moses. Moses led those people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, led them right up to the border of the promised land. But we find this, that Moses lost his temper a couple of occasions that we know about. But he lost his temper on one occasion and disobeyed God. When God said, speak to the rock, Moses took his rod and struck the rock. And said, this is what we're going to do. And took glory from God. And because of that, God said, you cannot enter the promised land. Samson was a mighty man, a great deliverer of the people of Israel in the day of Judges. But Samson had a real weakness for foreign women, did he not? And we think about David. Oh, this great man chosen to be king of Israel because he was a man after God's own heart. But then we read that David committed adultery and then committed murder by having the woman's husband put on the front line of the battlefield where he would be killed and several other soldiers in the process. So none of these heroes of the faith, none of them were perfect. They were human beings. And that's important for us to get today because here's what we're doing. We're going back in the history of our nation and we're taking men that we have revered as heroes and we're bringing up the blemishes in their lives and we're saying they are not worthy to be considered heroes. Listen, if having a blemish in your life disqualifies you from being a hero, then there could never be anything such thing as a hero. None of the Bible heroes were qualified because every one of them have major blemishes in their life. At least most of them do. And then we see something else here, that heroes, though imperfect, they can accomplish great things. Things that will inspire us. As we said, Noah got drunk, but he built the ark. And man, how many young people, how many children have had that Bible story read to them about how Noah, a preacher of righteousness, for 120 years, built the ark in a world of unbelief, of absolute ungodliness. And how many young person has been challenged to just stand for truth because of the example of Noah. We find that Abraham, yes, he was slow to obey, but he did obey. And we find that Sarah laughed at the promise of God, but then she did believe it. And Moses lost his temper, but he also led the Israelites out from under hundreds of years of bondage. And Samson had a weakness for foreign women, but he delivered the nation from the very foreign nations he had an affinity for their women. And we find that David, yes, he committed adultery, but he unified a divided nation and fortified that nation and left it as a military powerhouse on this earth whenever he died and passed it on to his son Solomon. So, though they were imperfect heroes, they did accomplish great things. Therefore, they deserve to be called heroes. And God recognizes them here as heroes. I'm trying to get us to see something about this, that there is a need in every man's life. There's a need in every nation's life. There's a need in every church's life, in every group of people's life, in every segment of society, to have heroes. But you're not going to find a perfect hero. You're not going to find the perfect one. And often those heroes will come from some walk of life that you never expected them to come from. Now, the right kind of heroes are needed throughout every segment and every strata of our society today. We've got heroes, but in most cases they are the wrong kind of heroes. We are starving for some wholesome heroes throughout our entire society. Now, first of all, every home needs some wholesome heroes. Every home needs wholesome heroes. Listen, little boys should be able to brag on their fathers to each other. They should be able to. When I was a boy at school, little boy in grammar school, one guy would talk about his father, what a good man he was, and then another one would have to tell how much better his daddy was. And then another one would have to tell how much better his daddy was. And we would brag on our daddies. Every one of us thought we had the best daddy in the world. You know, the sad thing today is a lot of kids don't even know who their daddy is. Our homes in America are starving to have a wholesome hero daddy that's in that home. It's sad whenever that somebody that's living with mama comes in and a live-in lover becomes a hero of the children. That is a disgust and a disgrace. Little girls should be able to brag on their mothers to each other. Mother ought to be a hero. Amen. Here's my mother. My mother, look how beautiful she is. Look at what my mother can do. Look at how she can sew. Think about how she keeps house. Think of bragging on the mother. Every little girl needs a mother to be a hero. And little boys and little girls should be able to brag on their older brothers and sisters. How they set the right example for them. How they'll come to their defense if there's a problem there. But that's not the case in the American home anymore, is it? There aren't any real wholesome heroes in the average American home. Heroes, but not wholesome heroes. Heroes that destroy the lives of the young people that are coming up. Heroes that are disgraceful, that lead them into sin, that lead them into all kinds of pornography and perversion and profanity and all this thing. I remember a little girl on our bus some years ago, a sweet little girl. She got on the bus one day, she said, "I can cuss," and just lit out the cussing. Where did she learn that kind of language at? It was from somebody that she looked up to. Somebody that she looked up. Homes need heroes. Listen, Daddy, be a hero in your home. Mom, be a hero in your home. Amen? Older brothers, older sisters, be a hero to the younger siblings coming along. But not only do our homes need heroes, but churches need wholesome heroes as well. By that I mean some faithful, godly saints for the people in the church to look up to. Each church member should be familiar enough with their own church to recognize some of its heroes of years gone by. You realize that's one of the great weaknesses of Baptist churches. They don't know the heroes of their past. It is sad. It is sad whenever we stand up. And I'm not saying that it's sinful necessarily to do this. And I'm not saying that I'll never do it. But isn't it sad that most of the heroes that are brought up as illustrations and sermons in Baptist churches are people who were not Baptist? Martin Luther, John Calvin, people like that, they weren't Baptists at all. And most people know nothing about the Baptist heroes. But let me tell you something. The Baptists have one of the bloodiest, richest heritage of any group on the face of this earth. Why can we not talk more about Charles Spurgeon, John Bunyan, J. Frank Norris? How many people today know who John Bunyan was? He was a Baptist. A Baptist that refused to take a license. And therefore got arrested for preaching on the streets in his hometown out there over in England. Spent years in prison. Years in prison. With a little blind daughter that had to do without because her daddy would not quit preaching on the streets or would not accept a license to preach. That's a man that ought to be revered, amen? How about the late J. Frank Norris? Ah, we've forgotten about J. Frank Norris. Oh, the Texas tornado. Pastored two of the largest churches in the country. One in Texas, one way up north. Pastored both of those churches at the same time. I mean, he was a hated man if there ever was a man that was hated. But he stood for God. Stood for God. Now those that follow in his footsteps and his ministries are even ashamed to be identified with him. We should know our heroes. Each individual church should have a godly pastor to whom they can look up to as an example. I'm not trying to toot my horn, but I'm saying this, that we still, there's a standard for preachers in the Bible, and churches need to adhere to those standards that they will have a man standing in the pulpit and leading that church that the young people can look up to as an example. Children in churches should have some godly adults to look up to as examples. I'm talking about not pastors. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about just men and women in the church they can look up to and say, when I grow up, I want to be like that. I want to be like him. I know I had a little boy one time. I asked him, I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? His daddy was a deacon in the church I was pastoring. He said, I want to be a deacon like my granddaddy. I said, man, that is a wonderful thing. I hope you never get over that. You know what he was saying? I've got somebody in the church that I can look up to. That's the way it should be. We ought to strive to set the right kind of example. Every church needs heroes. Every community needs some wholesome heroes. The mayor, the city councilman, the policeman, the fireman, the school teachers, the school superintendent should all be wholesome heroes. I can remember as a boy, the teacher, Mrs. Betzel, getting up. She was the principal of the little school that I attended, taught the 5th and 6th grade when I was there. And I remember her saying one day, the superintendent of education is coming. Tomorrow, be your best. Dress up. Be your best. The superintendent, he's a great man. And man, when he walked into that class, we sat there, we thought we were the most honored people on the face of the earth. The superintendent's come to our class. He was a hero to us. Our mayor was a hero. Our policemen were heroes. Our school teachers were heroes. Our firemen were heroes. That's not the case anymore, is it? And in many cases, they don't deserve to be heroes. They really don't. But they should be. There were standards for civic leaders back in those days. Now you see, you look back at our history, most communities have heroes that have been forgotten. That have been totally forgotten. I was visiting a home some years ago in the city where I pastored before coming here. I was visiting in this home, and I went in there. I was warned that this fellow, that he didn't like preachers. And so I walked into the house. The wife introduced me to him, And we had a brief conversation there, and I just let him know I wasn't intimidated by him, that I respect him, but I was not intimidated by him. And we ended up sitting there, and we ended up talking for a long time. And after a bit, he said, look at his wife. He was not able to get up and get around very well. He said, I want you to take the preacher and show him through our house. And they had a big, beautiful home. And she started taking me that and showing me that house. And we were going from the living room down the hallway, and she was showing me through all the different bedrooms and so forth. I noticed that there was a display on the wall in the hall, not where everybody could see it, but a display there. And I got looking at that, and I saw this medal, and I saw this paper from a president and so forth. And I saw all this, and I got to reading it, and I found out this man is a war hero. Nobody knew about it. And I went back out, and I said, I cannot help but notice that citation and that medal on the wall. Tell me about it. There's nothing to it. Nothing to it. Nothing there. You know what? I started doing some research. I found out that was a Silver Star. Understand, that's pretty hard to earn. Am I right, Scott? And I began talking to his wife about it as I got to know her better. I said, tell me what he did. And she told me how that all the higher ranker people with higher rank than him had been killed, and they were pinned down under machine gun fire, and soldiers were wounded, and he went out and drug them out from under that machine gun fire, one at the time, saved I don't know how many people's lives. And he was forgotten as a hero. Forgotten as a hero. You realize that Macon, Georgia has heroes that have all but been forgotten? Who knows the name of Rodney Davis? Does anybody here know who Rodney Davis was? I see a few hands, but very few. Let me tell you about Rodney Davis. He was the recipient of a Medal of Honor. He's buried in Linwood Cemetery. In September of 1967, he threw himself on a grenade to save the lives of his fellow Marines. Now, if you're going out on Highway 75, and you look up there on your left as you're going north on 75, you'll see there's an American flag there and a monument there and so forth. That's Linwood Cemetery. That is the grave of Rodney Davis. If you go up into that cemetery, here's what you'll find. There's about 14 acres, and it is just grown over. There's a group of people that now are trying to clean it up, but it seems like they're kind of losing ground on it, to be honest with you. But everything's basically grown over except for the grave of Rodney Davis. And you know why that grave's not grown over? It's because the Marines found out that the grave was being neglected. And they went there and they built that monument and put that flag up, and they go there twice a year and keep that cleaned off. The government offered to move the body of Rodney Davis from that dilapidated, rundown cemetery to Arlington. And here's what his family said. Said, no, if they move him, the cemetery will be forgotten and there's other people that need to be remembered there. But it's heartbreaking to go and walk through that cemetery. It's a cemetery that was created in the days of segregation. Primarily black people that are buried there. And it's just pitiful. But thank God for Rodney Davis. The lives that that man saved. How about John Birch? More of us remember know something about John Birch because his parents used to be a member of the Gilead Baptist Church, and they gave the land that this church building is sitting on right now. But John Birch was a hero of Macon, Georgia. He was a missionary and a soldier extraordinaire who was butchered by the communist Chinese right after the end of World War II. Our government tried to cover it up. They didn't want any more trouble there. But what an amazing man he was, a missionary who was recruited by the Flying Tigers and agreed to serve in the Flying Tigers in the military in order to help end the war quicker so he could get back to being a missionary in China. And they made him a commissioned officer, and he never went to boot camp. Only time that's ever happened in the history of our country. Man, what a hero John Birch is. The greatest man that ever graduated from Mercy University, and probably most of them over there are ashamed of him. We've got heroes here in our community. I'm saying every community needs some wholesome heroes, and we have them. But we've forgotten them. We've forgotten them. Every race needs some wholesome heroes. I said wholesome heroes, not rock stars, not movie stars, not sports stars, but some wholesome heroes. Our youth have all but, and in some cases they have actually made gods of ungodly heroes. Black youth need heroes other than rap singers, and white youth need heroes other than country singers. Amen and amen. We need heroes other than people that can slam dunk basketballs and run touchdowns. We need other kind of heroes. Listen, black youth, what do you know about Frederick Douglass? I read about Frederick Douglass, I say, oh my, I have a godly envy of that man's vocabulary and his ability to put words together and paint pictures. Amazing man, Frederick Douglass. Booker T. Washington. What do you know about him? What do you know about George Washington Carver? A man that said, Lord, I'm not very smart. I can't figure out a lot. Would you just help me to understand the peanut? And all the things that he developed out of a peanut. Those are black men. Black men. But how many of our black youth know about these kind of men? White youth, what do you know about George Washington? About all people know about him now is, yes, he owned some slaves. The very church where he attended, they took his name off of it. How about Paul Revere? What do you know about Paul Revere? How about Davy Crockett? Most people, I'm afraid, think Davy Crockett was a mythological figure. He was not. He was a real live hero. A live hero. And would have probably become president of the United States if he had not stood against Andy Jackson and his treatment of the Indians. He would have probably been elected the next president. But because people were so loyal to Andy Jackson, whenever he was stood against what he was doing with the Indians, the nation turned on Davy Crockett. And Davy Crockett gave his famous speech to the Tennesseans where he had been. He said, "I'm going to Texas and you can go to you know where," and he told them. And went there and died at the Alamo dying. But how many people really know that? How many people know the story of Nathan Hale? I'm saying that, listen, we have heroes in all races. All races there. But we forget those people. Every race needs heroes, wholesome heroes. And every nation needs some wholesome, not perfect heroes, but every nation needs some heroes. Now, the trend today is to trash our national heroes because of their imperfections. If I'm going to trash the Bible heroes because of their imperfections, let's do away with Noah. Let's do away with Abraham. Let's do away with Sarah. Let's do away with Samson. Let's do away with David. Who do we have left if we trash them because of their imperfections? If we knew enough about our history to see them in their historical context, we probably would revere them more than we do. It's easy to criticize a man for his imperfections when you're living in the day in which we lived in. Their historical context was completely different. And in many cases, the things that seem so immoral to us, they were compromised and they were working out to take us a step in the right direction. Oh, my soul, how we need to know it. George Washington, Paul Revere, Nathan Hale, Davy Crockett, Andrew Jackson, Abraham Lincoln, Robert E. Lee, when understood in their historical context, they all are still men to be revered. Even though they differed with each other and had their imperfection, every person who has served honorably, and especially those who have died honorably in the formation of our country and in the defense of our country, they are also worthy of national hero status. And none of them were perfect. None of them were perfect. And none that ever die will be perfect. But every one of them deserved to be honored as heroes. We need heroes, wholesome heroes in our nation. Now, I think it's clear that we need these heroes, the wholesome heroes, the right kind of heroes. And the future of our nation, to a great degree, hinges on who our heroes are. That's where the future, to a great degree, hinges on who is going to be the heroes of our youth. But there's something that we must never do with our heroes. As bad as we need heroes, and you get this, we must never make gods out of our heroes. We must never make gods out of our heroes. In classical mythology, heroes often were deified and became gods in the minds of their admirers. The Roman emperors liked to proclaim themselves gods and be worshipped as gods. No, we must never, not even of a hero, make them a god. True heroes become heroes because of the grace of God. That's why they become heroes. You read through Hebrews 11, and here's what you'll find. That the proper noun, capital G-O-D, God, is used 13 times in Hebrews chapter 11. And yet it lists hero after hero after hero after hero. Why is that? Every hero of in this faith hall of fame, they became a hero because of their faith in God. It was because of the grace of God. It's not because they were some great person. It's because of the grace of God. And that's how they became heroes. I had a soldier that I greatly admired. I had him as a professor in ROTC. And he had this medal that was just one of the higher decoration medals. That we asked him one day in class, said, "Sergeant, what did you do to get that medal?" And he said, "I lost my mind for a while one day." And he never would tell us what he did. You know what I think he was saying? It just wasn't naturally me. There's something then in me that just motivated me. He said, "I just lost my mind for a little while one day." And never told us what he did. I believe he was saying there was a higher power that got a hold of me. And I just did some things that were just out of the ordinary for me. Things I would normally be afraid to do. He was a hero by the grace of Almighty God. Never make a god out of a hero. Heroes are heroes by the grace of God. Now let me ask you, do you have any heroes? You need one. You need several of them. We need heroes. Have your heroes become your gods? If that be the case, you need to dethrone them this morning. You need to dethrone them. But do they determine by their messages and their examples how you adorn yourself? You can tell a lot about who a person's hero is by how they dress, can you not? Huh? Do your heroes, do they teach you how to treat your parents and other God-ordained authorities? How do they influence your morals? How do they influence your view of life? What people call it that day, the world view. How do they influence the way you treat others? Let me tell you, what is going on in our nation with all the violence and the hatred and the rebellion and so forth, a lot of it has to come from the influence of heroes. And they're unwholesome heroes. Unwholesome heroes. If you've got the wrong kind of hero, you need to get rid of them. You need to realize that this morning. These people influence my lives. And if you've made gods out of them, you need to quit worshiping them. They're imperfect people. And realize that they are what they are simply by the grace and the providence of Almighty God. And you need to make sure that God is your God. That God is your God. Nobody deserves to take His place. No hero. No boyfriend. No girlfriend. Nobody deserves to take the place of God in your life. Make sure. Listen, sometimes I hear people say, the Lord's my hero. He's not my hero. He's my God. My heroes have imperfections, but my Lord does not. Amen? My Savior Jesus Christ does not. He's my God. There is a difference. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Let's stand.